We're going to read from the book of the Acts, chapter 18. We're going to read the story of how a man got saved. And something of what preceded his salvation. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and he shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. It's a wonderful thing to have the experience of salvation. If the Lord spares me until January the 2nd, it will be my 50th spiritual birthday. So thank God for a day in our life experience that in simple faith we are brought to place trust in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know our sins forgiven, to have peace with God, have the blessing of eternal life, and to know that we're on our way to the glory, safe and secure, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For here's a man that got saved this day, and I want you to notice a few things about him. Of course, he's oftentimes called the Ethiopian eunuch. But somehow or another, I don't see that in the Bible. I see he's a eunuch all right enough, and I see that he belongs to the country of Ethiopia, but it doesn't say that he was an Ethiopian. He was a man of Ethiopia. And the very fact that he was a eunuch proves to me that there's a possibility that he was a man who was a Jew that was taken into captivity there. Anyway, be that as it may, another thing about him too is, if he had not been a Jew, why did he go up to Jerusalem to worship? If he was an Ethiopian, you wouldn't think that he would have any interest in Jerusalem and the religion of that city. Another thing, how come he was able to read the scriptures that he got at Jerusalem, which would like to be written in the Hebrew language? So those are just a few things that we might mention. Anyhow, before this man ever got saved, it seems to suggest to me that he had a definite concern about his spiritual condition before God. That was one thing that preceded his salvation. A definite concern about his condition before God. Now let me ask you, friend, in the meeting tonight, if you're not saved, do you have any concern about your condition in the sight of God? The fact that you are a sinner, that you have sinned against God, an enemy of God? You know, if anybody had told me before I got saved that I was an enemy before God, I would have had a job trying to believe that. Because, you see, I was 14 years of age when I got saved, raised in a Christian home. We read the Bible around the table. It wasn't just a matter of having the proverb read while we were swallowing our breakfast, as we were hearing. But the Bible was read in our home. We all had to get down on our knees while Father prayed. And of course, I would say that my Father's prayers was one of the things that had the greatest effect in my life. That is, he would say, Father, remember our children that are not saved. Now, my oldest sister was saved. She's in heaven now. And then my next sister, a year older than me, she got saved. And Father kept on praying, our children that are not yet saved. And I said to myself, that's me. So, of course, I knew that I needed to be saved. But I didn't think that I was an enemy of God. I stood on the gospel hall platform. I repeated the scriptures by the chapter. And all this type of thing. But you see, nevertheless, that's where I stood. I was an enemy in the sight of God. The Lord Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. For if you're not with Christ, you're against him. And we were enemies in our minds by wicked works against God. So God sent it. That's why we have to believe it. As I was telling some of the brethren already today, I was reading in Job this morning, and that man Elihu at the end of the book there, the younger man, 3 times in 1 chapter, he says, I'm going to give you my opinion. Well, friends, that's not what we want to go by, the opinions of men. We've got to go by what God says. And if God says I'm a sinner, and that I'm an enemy of God, and I can't get to heaven unless I get saved, I've got to believe what God says. Well, the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this man, I don't know what it was that got him stirred up, but anyway, he had a concern about his spiritual condition. Do you have that tonight, friend? This is the question I would like to ask you. Do you ever stop and consider, where am I going to be after I'm dead? You know, once we were down in Michigan, we were at a trailer park there, and This man, I never saw him in my life before, but as I was walking across the yard there one night, he came over to me. And he said to me, it was about 9 o'clock in the evening, and he said, and it was a strange way the way he addressed me to start with, he said, you know, he said, we're going to be dead a long time. So he said, there's no use going to bed yet, we might as well enjoy life while we've got it, or something like this. So I looked at him, and I said, you know, sir, what you have said is right. We are going to be dead a long time. But I said to him, tell me, where are you going to be when you're dead? He didn't expect that of me. He said, that's a question, isn't it? Then he said, say, that is a question. And you know what he did? He turned around and walked away. Now why did he do that? He did not want to face the issue of his condition before God and the reality of eternity. Friend, do you believe that there's a heaven? Oh yes, of course there's a heaven. How do you know? Well, the Bible says so. Well, the same Bible says there's a hell. And friend, if you don't get saved, that's where you're going to be. And you need to be like this man, have some concern about your spiritual condition before God. We've been reminded already that the Lord is coming, and we don't know when. And not only that, but death is on our track. Each one of us, we all just represent a funeral service, you know. If the Lord doesn't come soon, we're all going to have to go that way, and you may be going a lot sooner than you expect. We've had that happen in our town lately. So many young people in their late teens and early 20s snuffed out without a moment's notice. Listen, friend, it could be your turn next. Are you concerned about your spiritual condition, where you're going to be after you die? This is the thing that you ought to give your earnest consideration. For after all, it's for eternity. It's for eternity. And if you make a mistake, you're the one that's going to have to suffer. This man was concerned. But not only so, he was willing to do something about it. He traveled 1,500 miles to go to Jerusalem, thinking that surely he'll find what he stands in need of when he gets to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of the great king, a religious city. Surely I'll get what I'm looking for if I go there. You know, a lot of people have tried religion, but it didn't work. It didn't meet the need, and it won't. There's only one that can meet your need, friend, and that's the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My, you think of people that are attending their religious places. When we're going to be meeting on the Lord's Day morning, we travel down a one-way street called Albert Street, and invariably, we pass a woman and two children, regardless of what the weather is like, they're heading out. Where are they going? To the Catholic Church. Very faithful, every Sunday morning, there they are, rain in the summertime, snow in the wintertime, there they go. The husband isn't there. We've never seen him. A mother and her two children. Very faithful to their religion. But listen, friend, it won't save. It won't take them to heaven. Nor anything that you can do. No works of merit. No money. Nothing of that kind. No. This man was willing to do a great deal that he might get the satisfaction in his soul that he desired. Listen, friend, if you've got a desire in your soul to know peace with God, well, why not be like this man, decide to do something about it? Get under the sound of the Word of God. Listen to what God has to say. Come to the gospel meetings. Bow to the Word of God, what God says. Believe what He says, that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior, and that God has provided for your need through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Well, he went to this religious city, but he didn't get what he was looking for. But there was one thing he did get. It was a very valuable possession. And what was that? A copy of the Word of God, the prophecy of Isaiah. You see, this is the thing that he needed. Not religion, not good works, not giving to the good cause, paying your money, all this type of thing. No, he had to get to the Word of God. And friend, if you're ever going to be saved, and if you're ever going to be in heaven, you've got to get to the Word of God. That's the authority. That's where you'll find out how you can get saved, how you can get to heaven. So this man, he gets a copy of the Word of God, and he begins to read it. Why, I wish you'd read the Bible. I wish you'd get down to business and read the Word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not the words of men or men's opinions. It's the Word of God. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. He's reading the Bible, reading the Word of God. But he didn't understand it. And maybe you've said the same thing. Well, I've read the Bible, but I can't make head nor tail of it. Well, that's to be understood. Because the carnal mind hasn't got the capacity to understand the things of the Spirit. But the Spirit of God has been sent into the world with a work to do, to reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. And if you've got a concern in your soul about your condition and your need, and you desire God's salvation, God knows all about it, and He will allow the Spirit of God to open up the truth of the gospel to you, so that you might get saved, if you're willing to bow to the Word of God. I have sent to some folks a copy of a story that I read in a book that I got at home. A young man sitting on a park bench,
was a preacher or a Christian came to him giving out gospel papers. And he offered this young man a gospel tract. And the young man refused it. So, the Christian sat down beside him and he said, "Now, tell me, why did you refuse this tract?" Well, he said, "I'm a medical student. My second or third year in medical school. And he said, "I am looking for a leader. Somebody that is worth following." And he said, "If I can find a leader that is worth following, I want to follow him." Said the Christian, "Did you ever read the Bible?" "Yes," he said, "I did." "Do you remember in the Old Testament scriptures about a man called Elijah?" "Yes," he said, "I know about that man." He said, he was the man that faced King Ahaz with what he had done, and he reproved that king and spoke to him about his sin and so on. He said, "That's the kind of a man I would like to follow. A man that was willing to stand up for what he believed, regardless of who the person was that he was talking to." Said the Christian, "Do you remember in the New Testament a man called John the Baptist?" "Yes," he said, "I remember him. He was the man that reproved Herod for the sin that he was committing in his life." He says, "That's the kind of a man I would like to follow, just like John the Baptist. Man that has got some spunk in him, so to speak." The Christian said to him, "You know, in the New Testament scriptures, when the Lord Jesus was here, he was preaching, going about. He was the one that did many miracles and so on. And he was the one who said that the people around about, when he asked, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' Some said, 'He's like Elijah.' Others said, 'He's like John the Baptist.'" You see those two men that this young man was talking about? Elijah, John the Baptist. "If I can find a man like them, I'll follow them." "Well," said the Lord Jesus, or said the Christian, "these people said about the Lord Jesus, he was like Elijah, and he was like John the Baptist. He went into the temple one day, and he took a cord, a whip of cords, and he lashed the people and chased them out of the temple because of the things that they were doing, defiling God's house. People said he's like Elijah, he's like John the Baptist." "Well," said the young man, "I never thought about that before." Said the Christian, "Listen, you told me that if I could show you a man like Elijah and one like John the Baptist, that you would follow him. Here's one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you follow him?" Said the young man, "I will." They got down on their knees at the park bench. That man trusted Christ as his Savior that day. And according to the story, he had lived 3 years proclaiming the gospel message. Listen, friend, it's getting to the Bible, getting to the Word of God. That's where you'll find the answers to all your questions. This man, he got the Word of God, and he's reading it. That's what you need to do, is to read the Word of God. You see, God knew this man's need, and God knew the desire of his heart. And he knew that he was honest. Are you honest, friend, about your condition and your need? Have you ever been willing to admit, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm on my way to hell, I need a savior, I need a deliverer? Are you honest before God? Well, this man was, and as a result, God sent the right man to him to point him to the person of the Lord Jesus. Philip got up into the chariot. The man said, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? What happened? Philip began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. Listen, friend, that's the one that we present to you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. He came from heaven. He went to Calvary. He died that you might have eternal life. He shed his precious blood to deal with the sin question. Satisfy God in relation to your sin, and to make it possible for you to be delivered from the power and from the penalty of your sin, if you will trust this Savior, Jesus, the Son of God, the one who said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's the only Savior, for Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Friend, that's your title to God's salvation, sinner. Take that place, acknowledge your condition. Thank God there's a Savior that can meet your need. So he preached unto him Jesus. Now he said, if thou believest with all thine heart. Well, he talked about baptism. That was part of his subject. And then he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the scripture says, if any man believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That man placed his faith in Jesus that day as the Son of God. And thank God he was saved by the grace of God, and he went on his way rejoicing. He believed the message concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he was baptized to prove the reality of it. And my, this is what we like to see in the lives of those that profess to be saved, reality. Where there is true repentance, in the life of those that have professed to be saved, then we expect a moral change in the life. Because true repentance works a moral change. And if you say you are saved and there's no change in your life, I would say that your repentance is not real. And you need to get down before God and acknowledge your condition. Turn afresh to the Savior. True repentance works a moral change. This man went on his way rejoicing. I'm sure he didn't go up to Jerusalem that way, but he went back home again, rejoicing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as his Savior, praying you can be saved tonight if you're willing to accept this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Know your sins forgiven, know peace with God, may the Lord bless you.